keep being torn, caught up by all my demons, lost without my love, and I'm a slave.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to ABFC Bite Size. We did one of these a long time ago when Aston Villa drew 2-2 with West Bromwich Albion, but we're bringing it back on a full-time basis for the new season, season two, and we're going to bring you the news of Aston Villa's 2021-22 Premier League fixtures. Now, Aston Villa will open their new Premier League campaign with a trip to newly promoted Watford. Now, Dean Smith's side will travel to Vicarage Road to face the Hornets on Saturday, August the 14th. Watford, who were relegated from the top flight in the 2019-2020 season, secured an immediate return, having finished second in the Championship last season. And a big part of that really was the implementation of Sissoko as Watford manager during the mid-season. He's a new face on the scene in the Premier League. No one really knows a lot about him. So let's see. Let's have a look at his philosophy, his style of play, what is implemented at Watford, which saw an uprise and an automatic promotion place being secured last season. Let's have a look at his philosophy, his style of play, and what us Villa fans will expect from them when they come to play Aston Villa twice next season. Sissoko, the head coach, has applied a rigid 4-4-2 formation, but his tactics bring a more attacking style of play than his predecessor at Watford. Moreover, his organisation and personality is rubbing off his team with 3 wins from 4 from his first move at the helm back in the Championship. Now, the likes of Tom Cleverley are relishing a new managerial voice in the dressing room with 2 goals from the midfielder. And of course, Villa fans will know Tom Cleverley a lot from his loan move to Aston Villa. And Sissoko will be aiming to bring the best out of the most talented players in Troy Deeney and Ismail Sarr. Sissoko coaches positivity, he coaches optimism, he coaches that sort of behaviour, but adopts a one-of-the-lads sort of approach. He has lifted the mood at Watford Football Club. Now, these characteristics have impressed the players with an increased application and determination in the training ground and on match day. Is something which fullback Kiko Femenia, in particular, confirmed in a recent interview with the Watford Observer. He said that we're really happy with him. The training sessions are really fun and enjoyable. We have lots of possession of the ball from the previous ones. He is quite different, but now we're really focused and happy to work with him to implement his ideas in our group. He has lifted the mood totally because he's really positive and fun person. He's really close to us all, which is a great thing. Therefore, that buoyancy is giving Watford new energy. To continue with Aston Villa's fixture list for the 2021-22 campaign, the Villans then host Newcastle United at Villa Park in their first home fixture of the new season on Saturday, August the 21st. The eagerly anticipated fixture is set to mark the full return of supporters to Villa Park for the first time since February 2020. Now, I was at the game, Aston Villa versus Chelsea, where there were 10,000 fans in the stadium, I believe. And the atmosphere was crazy. It was immense. It's the first time I've been back at Villa Park for quite a long time. Of course, not everyone was lucky to go, but the atmosphere that created with only 10,000 fans was immense. And I believe that with the full capacity being back, hopefully, come the new season, the atmosphere will be reminiscent of days such as the semi-final playoff against West Brom when we won 2-1. That Everton game at home during the first season when we won 2-0. Those atmospheres, which those memories live long in our minds as Villa fans. That will be a common occurrence come this season, I reckon, with being a long way away from Villa Park for the past year. We haven't been able to go to Villa Park. So that journey, once again, will be relished fully and hopefully we'll be back to full capacity come the new season. Villa then see the visit of promoted side Brentford, a team Dean Smith knows a lot about, being in mind that he was the manager there and the new manager at Brentford, Thomas Frank, was his assistant. And Brentford make the first appearance in the Premier League on Saturday, August the 28th, before the September international break. Now, a key man, of course, Thomas Frank, is at the helm at Brentford. Let's have a look at his philosophy, his style of play, and what us as Villa fans will expect of Brentford come the new season when we play them twice. Frank's philosophy, in particular, he has this 4-3-3 style of play, but it's particularly possession-based, which is likely a contributing factor for his choice of such formation. It's worth noting that in the early stages of the season, a 3-4-3 was more common occurrence. However, in 9 games where 3-4-3 was used, only 2 wins were garnered, a 22.2% win ratio, a percentage, if you like. Whereas since the switch to 4-3-3, out of the 28 games played, 15 games have been won. Brentford have a methodical, patient approach to build-up phase, and instead of primarily involving the two centre-backs and a low pivot of midfielder Christian Norgaard, Frank wants the ball progression that is effective but also controlled. The Dane wishes for his team to be the protagonist, dictating the tempo of the match, and this is reflected by Brentford having the third highest average possession in the league with 56.8%. Brentford's build-up gives the impetus of launching attacks to defence, more specifically the centre-backs. When fully fit, the most common pairing is Pontus Janssen and Ethan Pinnock, both summer signings, with Janssen coming from Leeds and Pinnock coming from Barnsley. The coaches there both had possession-based philosophy, meaning both centre-backs were fantastic to be implemented within Frank's philosophy. I mean, I also see it necessary to mention that Janssen is right-footed, whereas Pinnock is, he prefers his left, and having the luxury of this means better angles can be formed with greater pass accuracy. A right-footed player on the left can be prone to coming back inside, thus not necessarily utilising the basic principle of width in the attacking phase. While the fullbacks are naturally attack-minded, they are positioned not too aggressively, rather on a similar line to Norgaard. There is a fine balance between wanting to play on the front foot and offering progressive passes, but not leaving their defence partners overly exposed. An additional plus of the 4-3-3 compared to the 3-4-3 is that it means that extra man in midfield, right? And this can be helpful when players congested on the touchline, where they can now be another possible passing lane into the centre. And in truth, their mere presence is a positive, as it's a further dilemma for the opposition to really, you know, acknowledge and defend against. Moving on with Aston Villa's fixtures for the 2021-22 campaign, a trip to Stamford Bridge to face Chelsea on Saturday, September 11th, and a home encounter against Everton on Saturday, September the 18th, completes the club's opening five fixtures. The first derby meeting against Midland neighbours Wolves comes on home soil October the 16th, whilst the return fixture, the Molyneux, is later in the season on April the 2nd. And of course, Wolves have a new manager at the helm, Bruno Lage. Let's have a look again. Of course, he's formerly at Benfica, but let's have a look at his philosophy, his style of play, and what Aston Villa fans should expect of Wolves come the two matches who play against them in the Premier League next season. The thing is with Bruno Lage, he enjoys wide players, but the wide players in this tactical approach of his are fullbacks. He played very well at Benfica with Grimaldo, Alex Grimaldo on the left side and Andre Almeida on the right side. And he likes to have his wingers cut inside. His team have a lot of interior game. And then the main advantage comes from the width, those wide areas that he really utilises on the pitch. And he puts the game all on one side of the pitch. And then in a few touches, he changes the side of the match and goes to the other side. So that is one of the ideas in his tactical approach. He likes to be unpredictable in his play. And with Wolves having fullbacks such as Nelson Semedo, wingers like Adama Traore and Pedro Neto, plus strikers Raul Jimenez and Fabio Silva, Wolves are really equipped to adapt to Lage's ideas. And the quickfire switch of play would also play into Ruben Neves' powers, providing the midfielder who remains with Wolves beyond the end of the summer transfer window. Wolves' hierarchy also want a coach who can develop the array of youngsters at the club. Eight members of the first team are aged 21 or under, including loan players Eitan Nouri and Vitinha. Lage's presentation might have included the fact that he provided the launch pad for João Félix's 113 million transfer from Benfica to Atletico Madrid. The Portuguese superstar was just a prospect when Lage stepped up to the first team duties at the Estadio de Luiz. Looking at Aston Villa's festive period in 2021, they see a home clash against Burnley on December the 18th before entertaining Chelsea at Villa Park on Boxing Day. And it is followed by back-to-back away trips to Leeds United on December the 28th, and then the club's first ever visit to Brentford's community stadium to face the Bees on New Year's Day. The Villans' final five matches of the campaign see them travel to Leicester City on April the 23rd, host Norwich City on April the 30th, and see them playing Burnley at Turf Moor on May the 7th. Now let's pinpoint our conversation on Daniel Farke at Norwich. And Buendia was going to leave the club, but they had to see different players leave, and they had to tweak their system a little bit during their promotion chase last season, where they did finish first. So let's have a look at how they did that. Let's have a look at their formation, their philosophy. Let's remind ourselves of how Norwich City will play against us and face us come the next season during our two matches. While many Premier League teams of the years past have succumbed to relegation and then sacked their manager, Norwich have stuck by Daniel Farke, in fairness. And in fairness, It has paid off. The German coach has inspired the Canaries to an instant return to England's top flight, the Premier League, securing 97 points in their 46 EFL Championship fixtures. The last team to secure that many was Wolves during the 2017-18 season. And of course, look at where they are now. Although the Canaries have been yo-yoing between the Championship and the Premier League in previous years, the club should have hope that their Premier League fortunes can change around next season. Let's have a look at their tactical style of play. Now, they normally play a 4-2-3-1, and last season saw the centre-back partnership of Ben Gibson and Grant Hanley. We had Ollie Skip and Kenny McLean in midfield, with Cantwell on the left, Francic in the middle, Bundy on the right, and Pukki in the middle. And in many ways, Norwich are coached very similarly to some of Germany's top sides. Daniel Farke's principles of play are not only reliant on possession and width, but quick transitions, gegenpressing, if you like. But being that they play in this 4-2-3-1 system, which is, to be fair, most common formation in Europe's top five leagues these days, but the Canaries stuck by their tried and tested formation more than most, in fairness, playing all but one game this season, utilising the system of play. Within the 4-2-3-1, the key is direct line-breaking play, and Norwich do keep a lot of possession and play out from the back, but handling the ball over to Emi Buendia to work his magic is a must, and a strategy that has helped the Canaries to score 75 goals this season. And of course, if Buendia comes to Aston Villa, that presence within the Norwich side will be lacking, but hopefully for Villa fans, Buendia can come all the way to B6 and show his magic on the field alongside your Grealishes, your Traorays, your Watkinses, and hopefully that will consequently result in a positive season for Aston Villa. Villa are then at home for the final time against Palace on May the 15th before a tough trip to reigning champions Man City on the final day, that being Sunday, May the 22nd. And looking forward to this season, I think with the additions of Buendia and the rumours of Young and James Ward-Prowse of different ages coming to Villa Park to show their willingness to play and show their talent, those sort of players who have been rumoured to Aston Villa, of course, is not 100% true, but the fact is, Wes and Nassif have these finances to be able to implement these new players, exciting players into our squad, meaning that their aspirations are Europa League places, Champions League places. And if we're able to become a common occurrence in those places and potentially in the top four for the futures to come, then Aston Villa are on the right path. And I'm really excited to see these fixtures being played out and how we're going to do this season. And if you've enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on your local podcast providers, and I honestly look forward to speaking to you again soon.